This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today I got Julia Rose and her co-host Becca from The Shit Show and The Shag Mag and all of those shenanigans, and my girlfriend.
Hi, everyone.
My partner.
I'm here again.
Yeah. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. I'm excited too.
Why are you guys excited? You guys do this all the time. You guys are basically professional podcasters, right?
This is my first time being on someone else's podcast.
Really?
Oh. This is our first ever interview.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just coming out to the world.
That's crazy because there's people out there that want to know about Becca, don't you think?
Oh. Bex. I like her nickname. Everyone's I'm going to call you Bex.
DJ Bex.
Famous Bex.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's like, I'm so nervous.
I mean, for a lot of us out there, I feel like Julia Rose is definitely a person that everybody kind of it seems like they know who she is, but they don't really know exactly why they know who she is or where she came from.
I don't know where you came from, but all of a sudden I just started seeing you on Instagram a lot, and I'm like, I still don't know where you came from. I tried to look you up last night, and there's another Julia Rose from Africa.
I texted her.
I'm like, you know, Julia was born.
She goes, she's from Africa. You know that? I'm like, really? She says she's from Texas. I'm like, maybe so she's funny. From both.
I've done radio interviews, and they're like, so how is Zimbabwe? And I'm like, I have no idea. I'm sorry that that's what comes up when you Google me, but I'm not from Africa.
This article mixed the two histories of both of the Julia Roses together, so I thought it was valid because it talked about Shag Mag, but then also talked about you being born in Africa and being on Star Trek. So then I realized it wasn't you.
Is this just something that comes up on Google?
Yeah. No, there's another Julia Rose that's an actress from Zimbabwe.
Oh my god! Yeah. Before I met you, I've seen that before.
Well, there you go.
Well, Google also says I'm 28.
Yeah.
You know what it is? Is that they have this artificial intelligence shit now that puts together these articles about people, and the robot is not sophisticated enough to always be able to tell the difference. I'm assuming that that's what happened. Or it's a 14-year-old kid in Pakistan who's
fake
putting together these articles for the site and he doesn't really know.
I love reading fake shit about myself online though, so I feel
it's so great.
Fun.
It's so great.
Really?
So
you have to deal with that too?
Yeah, yeah. There's so much fake shit. What do you mean, what?
Give me a good example of something that a lot of people think about you that's not true.
That I'm from Zimbabwe.
That's probably the best one.
Come on.
Oh my god.
They always try to do the when they say what your net worth is. You'll find yourself in an article Lana's net worth, and you're that's not even real.
And people talk about that shit it's real, and you should believe this. They're like, oh, that guy's worth 300K. It's like,
yeah, I know. I read mine. And I was like, I wish, dude.
Really? That's when you look up your earnings on Social Blade, and it's this person earns between $10,000 and $100,000. It's that doesn't
range.
Tell me anything.
it's when you ask a guy his range of how many girls he's hooked up with, he's over 5, under 300. And you're like, thank you for that range.
Who are these slick guys laying that line down on you? That's a good one right there. I've never heard that before.
How does someone say that with a straight face?
But they'll give a huge range. It's not even, what?
You see, this is what happens, Julia. I'm gonna be real with you. This is your problem. You just are hanging out with these Hollywood ass guys, and they've got these tricky, algorithmically approved pickup lines. And
what is up with you and these algorithms today?
I don't know. I think that's artificial intelligence. When you ask a guy,
you would say a line like that if you had just met a girl. I'm trying to think back to the Adam 22 that I met in 2016.
Oh yeah,
you would
tell
be the
us
asshole
some stories.
To say something like that. Definitely. I'm not gonna tell you. It's high. It's three digits, but I'm not gonna tell you.
But you were green as hell. You didn't know anybody like me, so I could have said all kinds of crazy lines and you wouldn't have picked up on it. But also, I've been not hitting on girls for all these years, so that's why when I hear a line like
that's
that, I'm
line.
That's artificial intelligence. That can't be a real thing that somebody thought up. No?
I'm like, that was a good line right there. I haven't been hitting on girls in so long. Yeah. I don't even know the
I feel like when he went on your show, it was just him trying to be like, look, I'm the best boyfriend ever. You're being so nice to me on that show. I was like, stop talking about me.
And AD was trying to be the worst boyfriend ever.
AD was fucked. That episode, I don't know what happened to him after that.
AD's just getting Michael Kors. That's where he is right now, actually. He's at Michael Kors.
What did you guys think of him after that episode?
Oh, I loved him. He's hilarious.
It's kind of like their first like gangbanger that you hung out with, maybe.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's so sick.
I've spent way less time around AD than you guys have.
Really?
But she gets to hear stories about him every day. Yeah.
I love him. I think you look at him and like you maybe like have your like predisposition like opinion of like how you think it'll be, and then he's so funny.
Yeah,
so he's funny. Hilarious,
and he's like 100% on the same time as you guys, because he's just like, yeah, let's take shots, let's get fucked up. Yes,
I know. I love
it. He walked in, he's like, does anyone have a donut, or do you guys have donuts? And I was like, fuck yeah, we do. We actually did.
You did?
Yeah, we had donuts.
We had cookies.
No, you had cookies. You guys had gone on a cookie run that night.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I can't be friends with you guys. You guys casually have donuts at your house.
Cookies and tequila. Cookies and tequila.
We eat dried mango every night. Like, it's fucking.
I know. We think we're being healthy. It probably has more sugar than it does dried donuts mango. In those dried mangoes so we bad. Eat.
The donuts are fried.
Don't act like you don't eat fried shit.
Also, you want to know how fried her brain is? Is that she thought that your name couldn't possibly be Julia Rose because she's friends with so many porn stars that she thought that Julia Rose had to be a stage name.
I don't know. Amber Rose? Julia Rose?
No, I mean, I get that. I mean, my name really, it's like Julia Rose is my middle name.
Ah. Okay.
But legally it is changed now, but that wasn't like my birth name. But it is Julia Rose. Blank.
But you took off your last name.
Yeah, I took off my last name.
So your instincts were right. What's your real last name so that people can dox you?
No, I don't.
I'm like already like hurt at the thought of what if Parker wanted to remove our names from her name in the future. I'd be so sad.
Once she's like a singer-songwriter and she's got like an album being reviewed by Pitchfork, she's just going to be Parker Ann.
So my last name is Nersessian. It's like really ugly and like really hard to spell on social media, but I made it her middle name.
And
so
Grand
she's
going
to hate me one day.
That's so...
So just say her full name for a moment. Just
Parker Ann Nersessian Grand Mason. Your last name's even longer than mine.
Can you imagine trying to spell that? Her teacher's gonna be there for like hours being like, all right, next name.
Yeah, that is not even a name, that's like a prank that you play on somebody.
Should have just let me name her after Dolly Parton, and this wouldn't happen.
Yeah. No,
that would have been way easier.
We would
spell.
Both still have cryptic 11 letter last names regardless.
But if you let me have Dolly, I wouldn't have put my name on her name.
Actually, yours is 9, mine's 11.
Like, you're putting your name, I'm putting my name.
So was your last name like terrible last name? Or you
no,
just
it wasn't terrible. I was like adopted, so I had like a legal birth name, and then I was adopted when I was like 7, so then my last name changed again, and I never felt like either last name, so I was just kind of, I always felt like Julia Rose, so I went by Julia Rose, and then I was like, why not just legally change it?
Okay.
Branding.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, that's why me, it's better to be Adam 22 than Adam Grand Mason. Although my last name does.
That's a pretty sick name, though.
Yeah.
It sounds like a knight.
In retrospect, it is. It's a name that, like.
It's strong.
It has an identity, but it's also hard to remember in law.
It just means big house.
You need a stallion. For sure.
Len of the Stallion.
God, imagine.
Sell the car and buy it, Stallion.
That used to be her name, and she had to change it because Meg the Stallion came out.
Oh, shit.
I just gave it to her. I'm a whole foot shorter than her, but I was a stallion.
You're like, yeah, you got it, girl.
You got it.
All right, so let's Julia, tell us where the fuck you are from, because you're from Texas.
Not Zimbabwe, yeah. I'm from Texas.
Right. Tell us about the early days of Julia Rose.
The early days back in Texas, tiny town Texas. I'm from like a small town that it's one of those, literally if you blink, you miss it. We had a library and a gas station, and that was it. Like, I had to drive an hour to go to high school.
How far from Austin?
From Austin, far. It's like 4 hours from Austin.
You had to drive an hour to go to high school?
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it was like we're in the middle of nowhere.
Why did your parents choose to live here?
Why did they choose where? To live in a small town?
Yeah, why did they live there?
My dad like wanted a like big backyard land and loved like the small town feel. So I think we just ended up out there for some reason.
Wow. So is your dad like Hank Hill?
No.
From King of the Hill? No? I don't know if you are even familiar with King of the Hill.
I'm obsessed, re-obsessed with this show.
I'm imagining your dad like Hank Hill and your mom like Peggy Hill. True or false?
I don't know who Peggy Hill and Hank. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Adam. I'm sorry. Don't be mad at me.
Old, babe.
I feel
give
old.
Me a, give me like a imperson, like impersonate them, and then I can tell you.
That boy ain't right.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty close.
I sell propane and propane accessories. No. Okay, but like, so what were your parents like that helped create you?
That's a whole. I mean, my dad's super conservative.
MAGA hat.
No, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen him in a really long time. Maybe recently. I don't know. More cowboy hat though, for sure.
Cowboy MAGA hat.
There you go. But he's really, really conservative. I wasn't even allowed to wear like a bikini until I was in college. Wasn't allowed to go date, like any of that. And then my mom is on the opposite side of the spectrum. Very just outgoing, spontaneous. She's been married multiple times. So it's been completely two different people.
Raising. How did they end up together? Yeah. They sound like a horrible couple. Maybe they should divorce. Yeah,
no, they did divorce.
Oh, they did, okay.
There you go. They met, I think they worked next to each other, and I think they just ended up running into each other. I think checking mail. Mm. They ended up running into each other, and my mom had already had me, but he raised me. So he was like known as my dad.
The world without Tinder is a scary place, because you end up having sex with people that you just like got your mail near, instead of like those who are found from the algorithm inside of the app.
Algorithm. There you go. Everyone take a shot for every time Adam says algorithm.
It's
like your third time getting mail. You're like, fine, I'll fuck them.
Yeah. No, that's really how the world was before Tinder and shit. That's
so true,
though, really, don't you think?
I kind of like that.
Before all these dating apps and stuff, people used to like get married to people that live within like a 5-block radius of them, like 90% of the time or some shit.
It's true.
Sounds romantic.
And also, women didn't used to really go to college like that. So that was like a big thing that changed.
I'm going
to
stop.
There's a lot of more information that I have to offer here. Okay, so what was your upbringing like after you drove an hour to go to high school? It sounds like you were kind of like isolated.
Yeah, I mean, pretty isolated. I mean, growing up, like, I think I was telling this to someone the other day, but we actually like would go like cow tipping, and like everyone thinks those are like myths, but it's like, no, that's what we do. We'd hang out and like, I mean, we just shoot the shit. It was just fun, Texas. I don't know. What would you do when growing up in high school? Is it so different?
I went to One Oak.
No way.
You from here too?
Did you really?
I grew up in LA. I was like, oh yeah. I was like 16 in One Oak.
No way. Oh, I'm literally in Texas. We're hanging out in like garages. We used to go to, we used to like go to Walmart and play like tag and shit. Like it was just like random shit.
That was closer to my upbringing. Like you definitely would go to Walmart or Denny's at night because those were the only things that were open late. And yeah, you would just like sort of end up getting into mischief and house parties and crap like that because
I grew up in LA and I didn't go to One Oak in high school.
You didn't?
She was tapped in.
I'm like, wait, how did you do that?
Yeah, like house parties and like just like the club. I'd be like, Mom, I'm going to go watch a movie.
Oh my God.
And then I'm just like,
and then you're just you're in Meek Mill's section, just like, yeah, there's like sparklers and
two
shit.
Completely different.
I'm like, yeah, I'm 21. They're like, you really don't look.
You have braces. You're like, yeah, I'm 21. Yeah. No.
No.
That's insane. We I cannot
like,
believe that.
Hookah parties in my garage. I was like allowed to host.
Oh my gosh,
hookah gatherings. Yes. But I didn't actually like hookah, so I never smoked.
I didn't know what hookah was while I was in high school.
I used to love hookah when I was in high school. I got one and I told my parents it was a lamp.
Isn't this funny that me and Julia are from semi-similar upbringings and then you two bougie LA chicks are totally vibing
up
here?
We're playing tag in Walmart and y'all are getting bottle service.
No.
And Len is pissed though because she didn't actually do any of this stuff.
No, I went to college and became a hippie and then came back and finally went to the club after I had already turned like 22.
And then they didn't let you in.
Oh yeah, and the One Oak didn't let me in like twice. Becca's in there. One Oak.
Becca's in there at 12 years old. They're not letting her.
And I'm like, what? Why can't I get in?
But what did they give you a reason? Did they say like,
my
no,
friends,
you're gross?
I'm gonna blame it on my friends were too ugly to get in. I don't know. I was probably too ugly to get in. I don't know.
Oh my God.
So I go like judge your outfit. The worst part about this is I go home and I tell my mom who grew up in LA since she was like 16, and I told her I was like, Mom, they didn't let us in because we weren't pretty enough, and she's like, that's how it works, sweetheart. And I was like, oh, this bitch.
Wait, no, it's actually fucked up. If you look up their like ratings, they're rated like 2 stars or something.
They should be.
Because once I wore like, I tried out like a new outfit or whatever, and I didn't get let in that night. And I was like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I was in here last week. I know you don't like my outfit.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's so cutthroat. Like, I did go one time with these guys. Sorry, babe, it was before you. And they were like, I don't know, they knew people there. So, but I was wearing a flannel and sneakers, and they let me in that time because of who I was with.
Oh, I wore flannel that time. I didn't get let in.
I'm so glad they're closed. I hope they don't open again.
You would remember.
That thing.
A hot girl in a flannel can get by, right?
Yeah, when you're playing tag in Walmart.
Yeah. No,
that
exactly.
goes back to that.
Where we grew up, flannel was just normal. Like, hottest girl in school was still rocking a flannel. Damn, Peggy Hill got kicked out of or was basically shunned at a local football game because she had a flannel on. I know you guys, again, don't watch King of the Hill, but.
Sometimes I think about moving to Missouri and just being like a 12 out of 10 because in LA I'm like a 5.
Missouri. Everyone from Missouri right now is in the comments. Sorry, like, guys. Bitch, you would not be number one in my city.
I got fake boobs. I got to count for something.
Is that still like a thing? Because it was definitely a thing when I still lived on the East Coast.
In LA, it's totally normal for everyone to have fake boobs.
I remember.
I forget. You get them for your graduation and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I got a nose job in spring break of like my sophomore year.
Yeah. Me and my friend saw a chick with like really big fake tits in New York back in the day, and we talked about it for months. Like it was a whole thing.
What?
Like,
in New York?
Remember that girl at the bodega? It's not that common in New York.
Oh, yeah, no.
And maybe it is now more, but in 2008-ish when I lived there or whatever, we didn't think it was common at all.
Really? I heard that like the plastic surgery in New York, it's so much better done because they make you look like way more natural, whereas like here it's very like big lips, like it's completely different look out here than it is.
I don't know about any New York doctors. I was gonna say like I feel like there's no famous New York doctors, but hey, if you know anyone.
Yeah.
What about Dr. Miami? Was he really selling penis injections for $600 or something?
Wait, what?
Didn't he tweet that?
Are you gonna call? He tweets some funny shit.
Are you sponsored? You're just doing this discreet plug. He's like, hey, did you hear about the penis shots for?
I'm open to it though. Like, if he wants to try some experimental procedures on me, I could use some more.
Would
girth.
You date a guy if you knew he had penis injections?
What is a penis? Like,
I don't actually know either.
That's what's funny is that like now we all know about like BBLs that we didn't know about like you know 10 years ago or whatever. Penis injections are still very much the wild wild west because girls don't know anything about this. We know about it because we're in the porn world.
I don't know, but penis, like, is it kind of like lip injections? Like, if a guy, I wouldn't be
that's
like
a very good point.
If some of these porn dudes, you see them and they're not fully hard and the thing is still like a fucking elephant trunk, it's because they've got all this goop in there that's keeping it big, even though he's not actually hard.
The thing that would probably bother me if it like affected him getting hard. Like, I feel like that's where it's like, if it's affecting our sex life and you're getting penis injections and then you can't like deliver, then that's where I'm going to be like,
That's why I need to know more about it.
I know. Is it lip filler where you have to go like re-up every couple of years?
And like, then you're bruised and then you have to like not do anything for a week because that's not happening.
Yeah. That's weird. I remember there was a dude in high school who got his penis pierced and he wasn't able to have sex for like 6 months or something.
I don't know if that's even like, I wouldn't want to have sex with a pierced penis. That would scare me.
Yeah, right?
I mean, it sounds like probably the worst thing that I could imagine ever doing ever.
I'm surprised you don't have one.
What about puke thinking about it? All that body mod shit. I like to think of myself as open-minded and whatnot, but it's a lie. All that body mod shit, ugh, disgusting. Can't even look at it. When people are hanging from hooks.
I remember
from the
hanging
ceiling.
Out with Adam like the first
Chris Angel. I used to think he was so hot.
Wait. Oh. Does he actually do that?
Chris Angel? Yes. Does he do that?
Mind freak. I'm like, yes, daddy, mind freak me.
I'm talking about daddy mind freak me. I'm thinking more of like the tattoo convention, like weirdo, like stretching your fucking like they'll like cut the penis head down like and this. Turn it into
it looks like
a dragon and like they like tattoo like scales all over their face.
But
look like a dragon. Yeah.
Chris Angel did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that Chris Angel's a big deal to you.
I did not think he'd be your type.
I was like 12 years old being like, mind freak.
Stop.
That was like Justin Bieber to your Billie Eilish.
Yeah, I was going to say, everyone's like thinking about Edward Cullen and you're over here. Like,
I'm like, Chris Angel.
I used to watch his show though. I wasn't coming about it.
Well, only one of us was then.
Did you guys have like a, like, yeah, that this is an interesting and revealing conversation is like, who was your crush as you like learned what it was to have a crush? Like, everybody kind of has this thing. Hers was Aaron Carter.
I liked when he made the Lizzie McGuire debut.
So I did have a crush on him, but I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio was always my first love. Titanic. But yeah,
who was
it's hard to pick, crush. Right?
Chad Michael Murray.
He's pretty cute.
Who is that?
He's laughing.
I was like, oh my gosh. That's, and I saw him at Target once and I like didn't say anything. I just like, I was like literally 10. I was like, oh,
that's
fuck
so
yeah.
LA that you get to see your Hollywood crush, movie star crush at Target.
Imagine.
I had like a poster from like, you know, like those pop magazine, like those like
you
little girl.
Yeah,
you like open them up, put them on your wall.
It was
like
the centerfold for girls.
Yeah, exactly.
J14. Yeah. What was yours? J14. Was it Chris Angel?
Not that I think about it. No, I mean, I feel like, what's his face from Gossip Girl? Ed Westwick.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You were supposed to interview him on that live stream and then it went bad, remember?
Yeah, and that was really awkward when they said I was supposed to interview him because I'm like, who the fuck is that?
You didn't know? Actually, and I'm like, what? How do you not know what it is?
I don't know anything about actors. I'm so bad.
Yeah. We were just watching him.
We were just watching him together.
Gossip Girl.
Sounds so bad.
Just that character is like...
Yeah. I actually met him in person, too, at a club, and it wasn't that great.
When I was a kid... Joey Lawrence, JTT, Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh, these are who you had a crush on?
No, these are just, these are who were popping in like no, the that Tiger Beat. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
No one asked him. He was waiting for everyone to ask him. And he's like, just, okay, you guys aren't going to ask. Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
No, because I'm over here getting like an inferiority complex looking at JTT, just thinking like, well, he gets to be on the cover of Tiger Beat. And I'm over here, you know, just being a nobody in Nashville, New Hampshire. Like, I'm just like trying to like think about it. Like, how do I get... like, how do I get to become Donnie Wahlberg? Because, like, New Kids on the Block was a whole thing at the time as well. And then NSYNC and Backstreet Boys came along. By the time I was, like, 13, the girls were definitely crushing on the Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet Boys,
who was NSYNC. Your girl, though? Like, who would you put a poster up of?
Ooh.
Pam Anderson.
Ooh.
I good didn't one. Put up a poster of her, but she was who I had my first wet dream about. Her and, like, Carmen Electra. And,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Britney. To some extent, Britney Spears, definitely Christina Aguilera. They were they filled that void to some extent, yeah.
I wanted to be Britney Spears, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
When I was little. Yeah.
Obsessed.
I still do.
You actually talked about Britney Spears on our podcast. You said that the red leather was what like makes you like shiny things.
I knew exactly what outfit you were talking about, and I was wondering how she put it on because it's just like
Vaseline-ing her body.
Yeah. Is it tempting as a woman to just wear like vinyl or like bright shiny leather? No, smell day?
Underneath it, and you're sweating. It's disgusting. It's
like, is it tempting? Absolutely not. No. Will we do it to impress men? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so uncomfortable.
So you're willing to acknowledge that everything you do in your life is basically to impress men? Because a lot of women don't want to be like, oh, like they're like, I like wearing makeup because I like wearing makeup. Huh. And you're like, well, you know, I think that like a large part of the reason why people want to wear makeup is because biologically they're trying to attract the other side. They're like, no, I just like wearing eyeshadow. And they're like, there's no biology, nothing. It's just eyeshadow.
Just to prove you're right, we're going to go home, put on a leather suit, just chill.
We're watching Gossip Girl in our red leather suits.
Yeah, we're like, we're not sweating.
I know, because when like think about the way that you look when you don't think that there's going to be anybody around that like
is going to judge you. I did this for Julia and Becca. I didn't do this for any of the men.
And the people at home.
No, I did it for them. I put on fake eyelashes for them.
For us. Mm. We appreciate it. More than men would.
Yes.
Thank you.
I actually noticed your eyelashes.
I know, me too.
Beautiful.
The way I look at home is pretty much the way I look on here, though, to be totally honest.
But you smell worse at home. So he showers and then comes to work and then comes home smelly and doesn't shower.
I know, and I hate that that's like normalized, that you're supposed to like fucking shower like 3 times a day now.
Yeah, fuck showering, right?
Thank you. Do you really agree with that, or are you being sarcastic? God damn it. How many times do you shower a day?
Twice.
Showering is important, Adam.
Well, you wake up and shower and then shower before bed?
I like showering before bed because then you get in your bed clean.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
I can't get the bed dirty.
I don't even know what that's like, to be honest.
We
I just don't
do
that.
You share the bed with the kid now. You got to be clean.
Come on, Adam.
I wash my hands after I smoke weed at night so that I can like cuddle with the kid, right?
So minimal.
I consider that kind of like a big compromise. I don't like washing my hands. It sucks.
And now they get dry.
That was the worst thing about COVID. I had to start washing my hands for a while.
Like constantly. Yeah.
Yeah, that sucked. Okay, so Julia, how do you leave the nest and exit Texas? Or when did you realize that you were meant to be something bigger?
I mean, I just always, with growing up in a very conservative family, I always questioned a lot of things. I think you're told, you know, especially when it came to specifically nudity, like a woman had to be covered. I wasn't like, I couldn't wear bikinis. If I raised my hands and my shirt showed my stomach, my dad would cut it up. I wasn't allowed to wear it.
Wow.
So I just always questioned it. I was just like, I never agreed with it growing up. And I ended up moving out to LA. So I went to college out in Austin, but then I just loaded a U-Haul, didn't know a single person in LA. I just knew there was something more out there. And I wanted to go and just at least try.
You were in Austin for 4 years in college?
No, I was in Austin for like 2.5 years.
And how was it?
It was good. It was way more relaxed than like where I grew up. So it kind of was like that stepping stone of like, I grew up in a really conservative place. And then Austin was kind of like free. I mean, they had Barton Springs, which is a topless, like a little topless. It's not a lake. It's like a reservoir or something where you can go hang out. And that's where I was like, okay, well, people are open to it.
And that's when you first let your areolas fly in public?
No, the first time I let my areolas fly in public was Texas Mardi Gras. There was a music festival and they put me on the Jumbotron. And I was just like, Texas Mardi Gras, why not just send it? And ended up flashing my boobs and getting beads thrown at me. And
were you hot in high school? Were you like dating?
Not freshman and sophomore year. I definitely bloomed a little bit in the later year. Like I had braces. I had like a bowl cut, glasses. And
I
then,
want to see a photo.
Oh God, it's so man. Bad.
A bowl cut? Why would you do that to yourself?
I wanted some short, like, I don't know. It was terrible. Don't ask. I did not have style whatsoever in high school at all. And then sophomore year, I kind of got tits and then got my braces off, got contacts, let my hair grow, and kind of, you know, bloomed just a little bit.
But were you like having boyfriends and like actually having sex, or like, and were you having to completely hide that from your parents?
So it was like junior year I started like having sex, and like I definitely had to hide it. I lost my virginity junior year of high school and like was terrified that my parents were gonna find out, and then they found out and it was like fucking terrible.
They found out and they were mad as fuck?
Oh, they were so mad.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you're in trouble.
Oh, like kicked out of the house trouble. Yeah, like really. Like Mike, I remember my dad being like, you have to go to your mom's, like when he found out, like just completely really 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 upset.
Did your ex-boyfriend like tell him or something?
No.
He snitched, like, yo, I fucked your daughter, dude.
Can you imagine?
Like, how did he find out?
No, he found out I was supposed to be babysitting, and I lied about being like babysitting, and I ended up going to my mom's, and my dad just randomly showed up, and I was in the middle. But he didn't see anything, but he was like knocking on the door, and then I answer, and my boyfriend's there, and obviously, like, he's not dumb. He knows what's going on.
Wow. There was sex smells in the air.
Sex smells all over.
Oh my gosh, wait, why do you not know about that when you're young? You're like, yeah, we're just hanging out. Yeah. Until, like,
The pheromones are just like real.
Imagine being a dad though and walking in on your daughter. Well, she's in high school and it smells like what you know sex smells like. You have to, I would be so offended. Like, are you serious? Like,
my house?
You made me have to walk in and smell this? Like, even if you didn't see anything, but the, oh, Jesus Christ. That, I'm traumatized just thinking about
You're
that.
You're going to have to eventually. Oh. Yeah. What are you gonna do? I would play cool. Yeah, I'd be like, sit on the edge of bed, act like you have no idea what's going on, and just make them feel really uncomfortable. Like, so how was your guys' day? Like,
I know, right? Don't leave the room. Just, he's like hiding in the closet.
But the fucked up thing about it though is like, doesn't it seem insane to like punish your kid for wanting to have sex? Like, it's the most normal human thing on earth. Yes, you like, if they're 15 and they're trying to be doing all this crazy freaky shit in your house, it's like reasonable to want to like limit that, but like you have, like it's smarter for you to just allow them some degree of privacy, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like, when do you consider them to be like coming in? I feel like you have to give them the freedom to make choices and stuff, at the same time kind of like guide them.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, it's a balance of letting them make decisions but trying to guide. I mean, I don't know, you're the one with the kid. I
should have to assume that by the time you're 13 your kid is like somehow found and seen porn. So it's,
when did you first watch porn?
Middle school. Yeah, we used to like go to my friend's house after school and watch it.
I watched
all, like, all my friends. You'd all post up.
I started watching the Girls Gone Wild commercials in our guest house. Mm-hmm. So I would always sneak into like the guest house and watch the Girls Gone Wild.
And you were like, this is gonna be my life.
That was like, there you go.
I'm in. Inspiration.
I loved it.
That's so funny. Okay, I have a friend who we were all like hanging out riding bikes, and because he's a pro bike rider or whatever. I know it might sound weird if you don't know about that part of my life, but he goes, bro, I had a fucking subscription to Girls Gone Wild for like 7 years because I ordered it one time and I kept meaning to cancel it and I kept forgetting. So I got one in the mail every day for 7 years, and I tweeted it. I wrote, so-and-so had a Girls Gone Wild subscription for 7 years, et cetera. His girlfriend sees that and gets so mad at him that it turns into a fight so big that they actually break up. They were together for like 4 years. Stop. And me tweeting that was the catalyst to their relationship ending.
Adam, you should feel terrible.
Yeah, your relationship ruiner.
I'll be honest, I think that was kind of unreasonable. Like, it's not really that bad at all.
There must have been something else.
Yeah, yeah. I think it spiraled from there.
His ex must have been in the pamphlet that she found.
Oh yeah, that would
be a problem.
It's not a pamphlet; it's a VHS like series.
Whatever.
pamphlet.
He got one in the mail every day for 7 years. Is what you said?
Not every day. Every month or so, I think.
Oh, okay. I mean, if it was his ex in that DVD, maybe I could see it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Do you know the weird thing too is that like about making the decision about like if you're okay with your kid hooking up is that like shouldn't you consult the other other kid's parent about them even being alone together?
You're snitching?
But don't you think that it's kind of weird if you're turning your house into a fucking teenage sex hotel for your kids to just hook up in? Like if the other parents aren't okay with it, isn't that kind of fucked up that you just facilitated this?
How funny would that meeting be though?
Then you're going to ruin your...
You just like sit around, you're like, so... How do you feel about your kid fucking my kid? And where's it gonna happen? Yeah, your house or my house?
I would want like the contact to like my kids' boyfriend's parents so that I could contact them if, you know, they were together and I couldn't contact my kid or whatever. But I feel like that's kind of crossing the line.
You're like they've been in there for 30 hours.
you're texting back and forth like, I don't know. They've been in there for a few hours. I don't know. Maybe he's having a hard time. Like, he's
stop it. No. This has gotten weird.
Oh, my God. All right. So wait, but okay. I know a lot about like what I think that you went through in terms of moving to Austin, because I lived in Austin for like one winter for like 3-4 months. And I very much like we were going to the bars on 6th Street mm-hmm. every night. And I very much became familiar with the type of chick. Austin just like is all the girls who like think that they have something to offer in life, but don't want to like move far. In Texas, they all just end up going to Austin and they become like artsy ass, like scenesters slash like whatever. Like they figure out who they are in Austin. But Austin is such a good place to go crazy if you want to drink, if you want to fucking turn up, whatever. Like it's an unreal party city. So did you just like all of a sudden just get bombarded with all these things in life? Yeah. Like crazy?
Yeah. Like I said, it was like a stepping stone. Like it was like from really, really sheltered conservative life and going out to Austin by myself. And it's like, I mean, girls are walking down the street with like buckets just completely topless for people to just throw money in there and tip. Girls are dancing on the bars completely naked. What? Like riding the bull. I remember one time I rode like the, you know, the mechanical bull downtown.
Yes.
I remember my skirt actually flipped over my head and like my whole like I was just like free. It's just free down there. It's like whatever goes. And it was like realizing it's okay. It's okay to be like that. And it's okay to like own who you are downtown. And I loved it.
You can fall off the bull and nothing bad is going
to
happen.
Yeah, like I went to college in the wrong city now.
Austin's yeah, I'm fun. Like, wait, what? Is it really
like that? Yeah.
Oh, man. Austin is like, it could turn a good kid bad real quick. Like if you want to party too hard, it is 100% like a place that will facilitate that. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And I bartended down there. So it was like,
oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Started bartending. So like you get to go out, make money, have fun, and just be around like the scene the entire time. It was so much fun.
Wow.
We need to go to Austin.
Yeah.
We need to do a whole like tour down there. Like,
I'm in.
How long have you been in LA?
So I moved to LA about 5 years ago and only stayed for like 2 years. And I moved to Bali and then moved back to Texas for a little bit, back to Austin because I missed it. And then I just realized how small Austin was once you've experienced LA. Like you can literally walk the entire downtown. So then I ended up moving back to LA about 2 years ago.
So when you first moved to LA, what were you thinking that you were going to do or what ended up popping off?
I wanted to be a writer. So I wanted to do something with journalism, wanted to publish a book, wanted to just do something in that field. And ended up moving out. I didn't know if I wanted to write scripts or just like whatever I could figure out. I just knew that to make something of myself, like LA would probably be like one of the best places to do it. So ended up coming out here. I ended up bartending out in LA. And then just kind of, I made my way. Someone kind of gave me a thing to fill out. I filled it out drunk too for a reality show. Ended up getting that for MTV. And then things just kind of slowly took off from there.
What reality show is this?
It's Are You the One?
Oh, really?
It's so bad.
And you were on this for a season? Or yeah, what like, was it?
Yeah, it was on like season 4. It's like basically a dating show where they have like 10 guys, 10 girls, and you have to like find like your perfect match. And it was just, it was so terrible.
Did you like any of the guys on there?
Yeah, I mean, I liked the guys. I didn't like the girls. It was really hard for me to get along with girls. And they, like, I've always been a bro. And it sounds so stupid and girls roll their eyes when you say this. But even growing up, I was like a football trainer. I was helping out with the football team, baseball team. Like, I've always been hanging out with the guys. I had a lot of guy cousins that we just would all hang out. So when I was on the show, I was throwing the football with the guys in the backyard and hanging out with them. And the girls absolutely hated it and hated me. And, like, it was just, it was, that experience wasn't one that I would recommend.
It's such a thing for a girl to move to LA and become a reality TV chick.
so bad. That's, it took me a little bit to get that away. That's when I'm like, I don't even,
you know, like you like to distance yourself from me. I didn't know about it, so you're doing a good job.
Or like girls who move here and become like music video girls and they think it's like the sickest thing ever, but then like they burn out so fast because they realize like, oh, there's like no good money in this. Like it's just, it's a terrible.
Any girl who's in a music video, I'm like, why don't you have an OnlyFans?
Like there's so much, yeah. Like you should have an OnlyFans so that you can go be in music videos or be on reality shows and then have that, like you basically get paid from your OnlyFans, right?
Reality show, oh yeah.
I honestly, in like 2013 or something, there was a girl that I was seeing for maybe like a month or two and she was on a fucking game show and I thought I was lit.
Wait, I always wanted to be on a game show, like The Price is Right or something.
I wish I could remember what the fucking game show was, because it would be so much funnier. I think George Lopez was the host.
The people from The Bachelor are the ones, you see them out in LA and stuff, and it's so funny. What? Once they've been on The Bachelor, like, I don't know, it's just hilarious. Like, you'll meet them and they just still think, like, they'll be like, I'm from Bachelor season, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Some of them get, like, legit famous, though, right? I'm not a person who watches The Bachelor, no. But I feel like some people.
We got into 90 Day Fiancé, and there's definitely that. Shout out Soulja Boy.
I actually saw one of the first seasons of 90 Day Fiancé, but I never got into it.
We got into it really hardcore and watched like 2-3 seasons of it, and it's definitely like that's your whole identity afterwards. Like, all these people are trying to create careers from that one appearance that can go on from there.
They all have cameos. I feel like everyone who does reality TV gets a cameo.
That's true.
You guys got cameos?
Nope.
No, me neither. I was doing it, but like, it was just listen to my song on SoundCloud over and over and over.
What's a cameo?
It's where they do the shout outs. Where you like, it's like another platform where people can pay to get like, you tell them happy birthday or something.
Okay, yeah. I see.
Becca's like signing it.
My rating I'm like, oh yeah, no, we don't do cameos. I'm like, what the fuck is a cameo?
Becca has one tomorrow. It's in her bio. Yep,
I remember, oh my God, one of my friends were like, they told us that they were going to get eloped. And I was like, what? Had eloped. No idea what it meant.
Oh, wait.
Like elope somewhere, get married. Somewhere. Yeah. And I didn't know what elope meant. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, fuck. I have no idea what they're doing.
You're like, can't congratulate them because you have no idea.
Right.
Like, that's crazy.
Yo, before I forget, I just wanted to tell you that AD was mad that I told y'all that he had fake teeth.
Why?
I don't know.
And then we're talking about it again right now.
Yeah. I'm just going to bring it up again. Yeah. No, but they complimented on his teeth. And then I'm like, yeah, they're fake. And he was like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to say that. Like, I thought that was just.
If someone compliments my boobs and you're like, oh, they're fake, I'm going to be so annoyed with you.
No, yeah. That was the example that we then brought up. Then I was like, yeah, that definitely. You 100% have the right to be mad about that. So I think I totally understand.
We still love the teeth.
Yeah, we still love the teeth. And the boobs.
I've been admiring yours. I'm like, I should have worn my retainer.
I don't feel like there's a stigma about having fake teeth. Like, it's not hated on.
I think people just have a stigma about anything. Like, if they can be like, oh, that's fake. Like,
right. I mean, people are like, oh my God, your teeth are freaking. It's like, if someone offered you fake teeth, you'd probably take them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my thing, though, is that I'm just not used to the protocol of the homies having work done, because I don't have none of my homies have any work done. Like, none of my homies have like a fake ass that they're like not trying to admit to the world that it's fake. You know, it's like, that's a new dynamic. Like, if Josh had a fake ass,
sometimes I'll tell him about secret, work that a girl got done in the porn industry, and then he'll come on this podcast and start talking about it as if it's not a fucking secret.
That's not true. I told him
in private, and I'll be like listening and like, that wasn't public information.
I don't mind people getting work done. My thing is when girls will ask me like, hey, where did you get your boobs done? I want to go to your doctor. I'm like, no, my boobs are real. Like, they're natural. And they'll get mad. They're like, you don't have to lie. Like, you just tell us where. I'm like, no, they're real.
People
like,
really
like,
try to tell you yours are fake?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like I've looked at enough boobs to know that your boobs are real.
That's crazy. That people just like won't buy it.
No, they're like, you're lying. Like, or they'll say that people always say I have a nose job. I'm like, I promise I haven't had a nose. Like, look at my other pictures, my old pictures. Like, my boobs are real. My nose is real.
Mm. But yo, so when you moved to LA, you didn't think that you were going to basically be making money off your looks? Or was that something you were already like open to?
No, well, so like I worked in Texas. I worked at Hooters, and obviously, like in Texas, it's a little different. Where like if you really like, not you really want to work there, but a lot of the girls want to work at Hooters. It's like a thing.
Hooters now Hooters. Must be like a OnlyFans breeding ground. Like every girl in there, like yo, if I was like, I would be at the Hooters just sliding a note. What's your OnlyFans?
The small town Hooters, you find really hot girls in small town Hooters,
and really ugly ones too. To be honest,
yeah, true. No, but so like I mean, I obviously knew like you can get away with looks working at Hooters. You know, you make good money basically off your looks. So it was like, I wasn't trying to, but I wasn't opposed to it either.
Hooters is so like entry level sex worker.
No, it's not.
Like the most entry level.
Before the strip club, you work at Hooters.
It's I guess that's true.
You're a sex worker, but you're just showing a little cleavage.
Now they wear like long sleeves. I just saw a Hooters thing, like they're changing the entire uniform where they wear long sleeves. I'm like, we used to wear like, crop tops. We'd like roll up the crop tops and make them shorter, and now they're like going the opposite direction. Everyone is though. Everyone's really? Trying to censor point. Everyone.
Was it? Oh yeah, I remember Hooters started hiring people with like no boobs too, and then people were like, "What the fuck is the point?"
It was always a joke that to work at Hooters, you had to stand by the wall, and if your boobs touched the wall before your nose, you could work there.
Before your nose, that's crazy. Have you ever been to the Tilted Kilt?
You talk about this, but no.
I've never been there, but I've always wanted to because I like the idea of them wearing the fucking Irish.
Oh yeah, you love pleated thing. Skirts.
Yes, yes.
She's like pleated. She's skirt. Got a whole closet of pleated skirts.
I actually do, but I never put them on.
Why do I? What is that?
It's the schoolgirl thing. It's the Britney Spears video.
What is it with schoolgirl? Like, why is that such a hot thing?
Glasses and skirts. I don't know. I feel like I could see it.
I reject this caricature.
See it too in the button ups.
That's why I like Tilted Kilt because it's like, oh no, she's like it's a Scottish thing. like she plays the bagpipes.
You come home tomorrow and have a bagpipe.
I don't even know what they wear. I've just heard about it.
Like, a kilt is like,
I have no idea. He's a regular. He walks in. They're like, hey, Adam, welcome back.
The usual. I've got like 6 apps that I get every time I go to fucking Tilted Kilt. I've never been there. I don't even know what they.
We got to go to one, a Tilted Kilt tour.
You think it's on Postmates?
No.
No.
I wish this was a longer podcast so we could order it and have Tilted Kilt.
Girls, come
in delivered with someone with a bag.
You should bring the Hooters girls.
I don't want the Uber driver. You send that waitress right here.
The last Hooters we went to was in Japan, and I'm trying to think of if they had more conservative uniforms or not. Yeah, I know, right? Why would they have that?
Yeah, it's so random.
It's embarrassing how many Hooters I've been to in Asia because I've been to a couple in China too.
Really?
Go all the way over there and you still go to Hooters.
But once you're there, there's not that much American food. So you're kind of like, fuck it. Yeah, let's go to Hooters. Like, we'll get some wings and fries because they don't have that at most of these little rice houses out here. That's real. But we did go to one in Japan, too. That was a good one. We were with like 20 kendama players just going crazy with these things. It was a scene.
I love it.
Okay, let's fast forward. How did you meet Becca?
I met Becca last year. It's our year anniversary. Oh my god, it's like next week. Yeah, it was our 1 year anniversary.
I only
met Becca.
1 year.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Wow. It's like we've known each other our whole life.
Yeah.
But I ended up finding out I was getting cheated on. I needed to get out of LA, so I was like,
by Jake Paul. We're gonna talk about that too. Okay, continue. Put a pin in that.
So I found out. I was like, needed to get out of LA. Quarantine had just hit, and I was like, I'm just gonna drive up to OC. One of our other mutual friends was there, and there was only like 4 people like staying in this giant house. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna like escape. Drove up there. I ended up meeting Becca that night and like crying during the hot tub, just like explaining everything that had happened. And she literally, from that moment, was like my best friend. We like slept in the same twin bed that night. Yep. And then the next night we did shrooms on the beach and just like fell completely in love. And I was like, just move in with me tomorrow, like whatever. And she's like, are you serious?
We were literally in a bathtub and like we were like fucked up. So like she was like, oh, you should just move in with me. And I was like, I thought it was just drunk talk. Like, okay, yeah, tomorrow we're not actually gonna move in. No. Moved in.
Yep. I texted her when I got back to LA. I was like, so are you moving in today or what? And she moved in from like the very next day after we met each other.
Wow. This is so like the Southern California dream that you just get fucked up with an influencer and you just all of a sudden you just form a podcast.
I'm a fucking star.
You're doing photo shoots. You're promoting each other's OnlyFans. And it's a magical cohesion of social algorithm
there. I knew it was coming out.
I feel like it's such a beautiful story because I know those moments where you fall in love with someone where you're drunk, you're like, you meet so girls nice. In the bathroom when you go to a bar and you're like, you're my best friend, but then you don't get to wake up next to them the next day, but you miss them. And I'm just so glad that friendship continued for you guys. It's real.
It was great.
I love her.
That's because I've seen you have that and it kind of fell apart and you were sad about
she
it.
She moved away. You gave her a boyfriend and then she left me.
You just ruined every relationship, Adam.
I just introduced her to one of my cool homies.
They're still together. Don't even other think about country. It.
Yeah. You move.
No way.
Oh, that's what we'll end this for sure. Yeah.
Oh, no. She's not moving.
No. If one of you gets a boyfriend who polarizes you and then all of a sudden you're just not spending time together, or if you both get boyfriends, it's over. What, if one's a country singer and one is fucking LeBron James, then it's dead. And
wait,
all
who
of
gets
a sudden,
LeBron James?
You can't bring them together.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's not going
to
work.
I don't even listen to country.
I get LeBron James, you get the country singer.
Fine.
You'll be at All Star Weekend and you'll be at the CMAs and it's just not going to work.
Fuck.
Thoughts. Is that going to happen?
No.
What safeguards have you taken to make sure that doesn't happen?
We're in love with each other.
Mm. Yeah. Best friend contract.
Yeah. But wait till you meet LeBron James.
No, we actually have this thing where we, I think, understand because we always joke that, like, you know, there's this whole thing, bro code, girl code, where girls are like, oh, like girl code exists. And me and her on the same page are like, if you get a dick appointment at 2 a.m, yeah, I'm cheering you on. You go get that dick. Like, I think that's when it separates you. If, like, other girls are like mad about it, I'm like, no, go, like, I'll help you get ready. She's helped shave.
Do you text back guys for each other? Because I remember doing that with.
Oh my gosh!
Like, what should I say next? And then you get the other person talking.
We actually have a funny story. I was like in an argument with this guy once, and we like broke up, weren't talking, and then he texted me. So she like came up with this text message to send back.
I'm very poetic.
You're a writer. Oh my god! I'm a very poetic person. This is great.
So literally, she was like, "Just change some things, make it sound like you, and send it." I just like copy paste. I was like, "This is perfect." And the guy literally writes back. He's like, "Who the fuck wrote that for you?"
Wow.
He knew. He was like, "Ha ha ha! Who the fuck wrote this for you?"
Oh my god.
That's amazing. You like overdid it. Like you didn't speak from her voice authentically enough. Basically,
well, like, she did a good job. I tried. I was like, really?
I added a lot of eyes after hi. You know, like those things.
Find some weird emojis that you think.
But girls do that. If a girl's texting a dude, they'll be like, text all their friends in the group chat. What should I say back? What emoji should I use?
That's
it's like
normal.
He says hi, and we're like, hey, two Y's, no smiley face. Yes, no fucking. Exactly. Don't seem too eager.
I hate the idea that like see, this is what's fucked up. That's the algorithm right there. Is that you've got like a focus group figuring out what the best response is. You've got this whole little hive mind.
Trying to read between the lines of the weird, vague things you guys say. You would text me at like 2 a.m. and be like, "What are you doing?" And then I'd be
that's the worst.
And I tell you what I was doing, and then you wouldn't reply to me, and it's like, why are you even fucking texting me right now?
Just testing the waters, just seeing where you're at. I just wanted to see
at 2 a.m.
Just want to see how much leverage I got. Will you drop everything to just acknowledge me for a little bit?
I mean, I was gonna go to bed, but
well, as guys, this is what we do. We like to toy with you, sort of see where you're at. You know,
so fucked.
Yeah, what are you doing is probably the hardest. Because you're like, what should I do?
I don't want to be boring.
Like, are you going to invite me somewhere? Like,
should I say that I'm ready? Because then I actually have to get ready and that's going to take like an hour.
And then what really fucked us up is when WYD came out. Because that's just like the most minimal effort you could possibly give a girl. Or even the wave emoji.
Oh, God.
Dude, hey! Actually, anyone who DMs you an emoji, just don't ever reply.
Yeah.
I used to be on Tinder sending emojis.
You sent the wave emoji? That's... No. Do you wave back?
The big eyes. The eyes looking sideways. I used to get that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, yeah.
That's like, let's do something shifty.
I see you.
I see you. Yeah. I'm looking at you, but I'm also looking the other way.
Damn.
What emoji do you send a guy when you have a crush on him? You just pull up in like a basketball player's DMs right now and just drop a looky-looky emoji.
Should I try that? I've actually I've slid in... I think one guy's DMs. I don't really slide in DMs. I don't know what to say. There's so much pressure. Like, what do you say when you slide into someone's DMs? I would not know what to send a guy.
Honestly, though, if you're an attractive woman, I don't feel like it could go badly. Worst case, they're in a relationship or something and they ignore it. Best case, they will appreciate you being there in their DMs. And that goes for all of you guys.
I don't know what emoji
not you
send.
Because you're with me, but if you guys showed up in some random guy's DMs, worst case, not responding.
Where's
best case, he's going to try to do you.
He's going to try to do you.
I mean,
so romantic.
I think.
Best case.
That's what you're looking for in the DMs?
No.
Romance?
No. Yes, romance.
Okay.
Wait, are you going to put any men in Shag Mag?
No.
I just thought about maybe your DMs could go here.
No, so, yeah. Adam's like waiting when it's his big debut. I think the way we can put...
I like to move. I don't want to be this way. I want to be this way. I want to look at Becca and Julia.
I just don't want everybody looking at the back of your head.
I do.
Okay.
No, I think the way we put men in Shag Mag is we like to do like exclusive interviews with different guys in the industry. Like we've done Snoop Dogg, Justin Roiland, Jordan Belford. So we like to add men, obviously, in the magazine, give them like a chance to be featured because I do think it's important for guys to hear from other guys. So yeah, we like to like do different interviews, exclusive interviews. I won't say that we'll ever put like a naked guy in Shag Mag, but
yeah,
I can't.
Yeah, that's gross.
I'd love to see her pose with a dude. I feel like it'd be hot.
Who?
Oh, an attractive
give me
guy.
Who's an attractive guy?
Tyga.
Him, obviously, like the only attractive guy that exists.
I'm not down. I'm in a committed relationship. What about Tyga? He's got tats.
You've already sent me a picture of his dick. I've already seen everything. So
oh my god!
Oh, I caught his OnlyFans.
On his OnlyFans, sends me a photo of his dick.
Looks like
that's
a
some guy-supporting guy shit. I love that. I love that.
It was a Shag Mag, if you will.
Oh, it was a Shag Mag?
I don't know. No, I think what I wanted to say was it was a shit show, if you will.
Oh, got it.
But
yes.
Then I said the other one, and then that was confusing.
We're like, what?
We didn't get into how Shag Mag came to be. Like, what was the idea? What led you to birthing this?
So after I moved out to LA, had grown a following. I had posted a picture flashing my boobs on an airplane, and that's kind of what took off, ironically. And I remember I posted it, just not even thinking, it was just who I am. Naturally, I'm just one of those people. I'm just like, oh, like, it's funny, whatever. They reposted it. And then when I landed, I had gained like 200,000 followers. And I was like, well, that's cool. And so then I just kind of realized, just being me and like posting that, no one was really pushing the limits on Instagram at that time of like what they could get away with. So I kind of just found my niche of like posting controversial content that either people really loved or they hated. And so I grew a pretty big following. And I actually got a call from Playboy in 2018 to go meet with them in their headquarters in Beverly Hills. Okay. And I was always a fan of Playboy growing up, just even growing up with a really conservative family. I loved Hugh Hefner. I loved how he was a disruptor, how he had a huge voice in his generation and pushing a lot of boundaries, you know, giving Malcolm X a place to speak, ending the death penalty. Like, he just helped with so many different things with Playboy. So I loved the voice they had, and I loved just like the content they would shoot. But when I sat there, it was after Hugh had died, and they were pitching me on like how, where they were taking the company and like featuring me. And I was just not excited about it at all. I was like, this is kind of vanilla. Like, there's not really like anything I can really gain here anymore. So I was like, if I'm not excited about something, why not create something that I would be excited about? And I kind of went to the drawing board, and I was like, I wanted to make the modern day man cave magazine where you could talk about sex, dating, sports, and where I could give girls that wanted to shoot topless content a safe place to come and do so. So I launched March of 2019, and we just reached our like 2-year anniversary this month. So it's been really fucking amazing.
Wow, do you write all the articles, or do you write a lot of them?
I did in the beginning. When we first launched, I wrote sex, dating. We had someone write sports. And then I did a Q&A where readers write in questions and I answer them. And then I would interview a lot of the guys we featured and the models we featured. So I did a lot of the writing. Now it's kind of, I love to write sex still, but now we have like erotic fiction stories. We have more sports stories, like different, we have like a ton of different articles now. So I don't write all of them now.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. Cause I mean, like, Playboy is pretty unique when you really think about it, that, you know, like just the space that is always kind of occupied in the culture. And it's like, now nobody wants a fucking magazine anymore. So like, I feel like that energy still could exist somewhere. So I do think that that's a pretty good idea. Like, especially with OnlyFans blowing up, it's kind of like, how do you present? And that's why I always thought it was a cool idea. It's like, oh, like even before I even looked into it at all, I was like, oh, she's like a girl who could be popping on OnlyFans, but she started like a brand name to be able to create more of like an overall vibe and brand identity. And that seems very clever to me, because that's sort of like just thinking down the road of like, oh, there's all these popping OnlyFans girls, but there's gonna have to be like platforms that can kind of like contextualize who these girls are and what makes them cool, you know?
Yeah, and have like a good platform to come and do so. And I think also a platform where writers and journalists can come and write about the things, like people are being censored across the board, whether it's girls being censored because of their bodies or people being censored with their opinions, and giving people a place to come and a platform to come and write about the things, voice opinions that people don't want to hear or aren't open to. And so I think we can do both at the same time and really be a disruptor in this space and be a platform. Like, I like to call it pussy culture. Like, we're so content with not like just doing what everyone else thinks is right. And so many companies and platforms are so scared to go against the norm. I call it like it's pussy culture. And I want to go against that. I want to be a platform where we're not scared to say the things that we want to say. We're not scared to talk about sex and talk about the things that other people don't want to talk about.
I respect it. What could you see it growing into? Like, is the shit show just part of the Shagbag brand? And like, could you imagine it being like a website, or is it going to be an app? Is it going to be like, what's the future of how big it could be?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the shit show is just kind of diversifying across multiple platforms. Obviously, you want to reach different audiences. There's a different audience on TikTok versus YouTube. So it's kind of like, there's YouTube is this giant place. We're not even touching it. Why not have a podcast that shows what Shagbag is even more? We talk about sex, dating on the podcast from a woman's perspective. Have men guests on where they can kind of bounce ideas off of us. But I see
talk about going to the parking lot in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. But I see Shagmag, we're taking over the bunny. In the next 5 years, we will be the next Playboy.
But you're dealing with issues. They're trying to take you out.
We are dealing with a lot of issues. We've dealt with issues from the beginning. I didn't think it would get to this far, honestly, whether it was printing companies not wanting to print the magazine.
Really?
Yeah, that's, I mean,
just because of the nudity.
I got into a pretty big fight where I went, not fight, but I was just questioning it. And he was like, this is a family owned business. I'm like, what does family have to do? I'm not even like, this is nothing.
That's
this,
a good point. Not I, bad. When I did my sexy calendar that wasn't even nude, I got like in trouble from the person who like did the order for me. They're like, I can't believe you made me do this order. Like, I was like, how is this even bad? I was not even nude, but I was sexy.
It's insane. And then women, even women owned properties wouldn't let us rent there to do shoots. A lot of places won't let us like.
It's a huge problem.
So, I mean, even when we first began, I knew it was going to be like a battle, but did I think it would get to this point where giant platforms like Instagram and Facebook, you know, we ran into the deal where we couldn't advertise normally, market like normal companies can. We can't run Facebook ads, Instagram ads. And I was okay with that. I wasn't like mad that we couldn't run ads. But then when you take down my entire platform, 5 years of hard work, 5 years of me, you know, putting my body on the line and not doing anything worse than like Playboy's doing. Like if you look at Playboy's account,
I always talk about their Instagram page.
There is nothing different. And that's why I'm like, I'm not asking you to put nudity on your account. I'm not asking you for allow nudity on Instagram. What I'm asking is that you treat everyone fairly across the board. If Playboy is going to get away with their posting, why can't Shag Mag get away with it's identical. The only difference is it is a male CEO. So how are they picking and choosing? How are they saying, oh, well, she needs to be taken down for this, but we're going to allow Playboy to post way riskier content.
Right.
So because they're a household name. Yeah.
How did you find out your Instagram was taken down, and what has your communication with them been like since then? And do you have any specifics? Do you get any sort of information from them?
So I woke up, it was like end of December. It was like right before my birthday. I woke up and tried, I think it was logging in, and it just kind of popped up, and it was like, your account's been disabled. Please fill out this form and we'll get back to you within 24 hours, whatever. Filled out the form. I had been disabled before, but got it back. Like, I just submit a form, you get it back. Never when I got verified. Once I got verified, I thought that was the golden ticket of like all these other people, like Tyga, for instance. He's verified, posts the raunchiest stuff on his page, which is like fine. But I thought like the whole verified check mark was like, you can kind of get away. Your stuff will get taken down if it's across, like if it breaks any barriers, but you can kind of get away with posting different stuff and your account won't get taken down. So I woke up, it was disabled. I was like, okay, I'm just going to fill out the forms. Like, I have different connects that I can use to get it back. Not a big deal. Submitted all the forms, waited a couple weeks. Shag Mags got taken down then. And Shag Mags was nearly at 1 million. Mine was at 5 million. So it's 6 million followers, like gone. Wow. And reached out to tons of people. I mean, like used all my resources to kind of get a hold. One thing that I've learned is that someone from Facebook said, the next time you make an account, label yourself as a male and you'll be less likely to be taken down, which was really surprising to me.
They told you that?
Mm-hmm. And was basically told that it was kind of more of an inside thing. Like it always like, they give you such great answers. And then that's the problem too. These creators make these platforms, and we don't hold any of the power whatsoever. There's no one you can like communicate with and be like, hey, listen, like, I don't understand what's going on. It's the algorithms. It's literally these algorithms. And that's some things that I learned too, is I would have fully clothed content where nothing at all was showing get taken down because the amount of people that would just report it.
Yeah, I have the same problem. And it's hearing my story back to me.
You hear that from all kinds of celebrities. Like, I saw Saweetie say that. I think it was her. Fuck, it was some famous female rapper. I seen her post. Like, this post got taken down, and it wasn't pornographic in any way. And
sometimes it's like jealousy.
Yeah, but the girls. But how fucked up is that? That these giant tech companies somehow don't have the ability to discern from what is like a trolling campaign and what's actually not supposed to be on their platform, and that the people who are forced to deal with it are these fucking famous women who are just trying to put their bodies or but without breaking the terms of service, or just show themselves on their platforms, and their platform is able to be manipulated by trolls. And nobody cares.
Nobody cares until it's them. Everyone can sit here and be like, oh, like they don't want to listen to it. They don't want to roll your eyes until they wake up and they get the same fucking message. And that's when I'm like, if we don't start doing something to get some sort of power back in our hands, we're going to wake up one day and they're going to be able to pick and choose, and everyone's going to be shut down. Like, it's like, and I feel like no one cares until it's too late to care.
Right. No, it's crazy, and it's starting to happen with rappers and stuff too. Like Blueface's Instagram is gone, Boosie's Instagram is gone, and like they just even other dudes. I've seen Vitaly's Instagram is gone, and it's just fucked up to me. The idea that they can allow you to build a platform, allow you to build a business, and then they could take it away from you. No accountability.
No explanation, no email, nothing.
And nothing to even communicate back with them. And then the only response I'm getting is, oh, well, label yourself as a male. And I built another one, which was so weird to me. I built another account right after to like 100K. Got shut down within a week. No reports, no nothing. So it's like, how are you measuring this?
Right.
And it's like, it's almost like a bittersweet thing, because then it kind of made me sit back and as a businesswoman say, okay, I'm going to make the shift now. You know, this is like when life hits you by 2x4 and it's like, how can I now be an entrepreneur? You know, most companies like Playboy, when they made it big, they didn't have social media. So that's when I pulled the Holly Boob stunt and I changed the Hollywood sign to Holly Boob. And I was like, let's get creative. I don't, you know what? Keep my platform. You can have it. You're not going to take my voice. I'm still here. I'm louder than ever. And I'm causing more, like, I'm getting more attention than ever because of it.
Did you get arrested or just get a ticket for that?
Oh, I got arrested.
Really? Yes. How was that?
I spent 8 hours in jail. It was freezing. It was so cold. Yeah.
Oh my God. I would wear a hoodie for sure if I was doing that.
I did. I did wear a hoodie, but then we hiked down. They took my hoodie off. Like, it was like a whole thing.
Wow. And so are you actually getting in real trouble for this, or is it just some bullshit?
I mean, I was arrested for 8 hours. I got a ticket. I have to show up in court in July to talk about like trespassing and stuff like that. But I mean, I got in trouble, but it was well worth it.
Was it really? Did your OnlyFans blew up from it?
I didn't have an OnlyFans at that. I think I started it like right after, but ShagMag definitely blew up.
Right.
Right from it, yeah.
Were you planning on not doing an OnlyFans because of ShagMag? And ShagMag was like your alternative to having OnlyFans, or, and then you just decided that like, fuck it, I'm going to do OnlyFans as well?
I think you have
a magazine, so it's like kind of different.
It's kind of different, like content.
Yeah, I mean, it's like ShagMag is the production,
right?
Whereas OnlyFans for me is like another way for me to communicate with fans, because I'm not going to try and do it on Instagram anymore. Oh God!
Your sister just smashed a vape off the ground. Mm-hmm. She said, "Fuck vaping." Well, look at the coordinated water drinking that they're both doing right here. Look at this.
Best friends.
No.
These ShagMag gals.
Because I think a lot of people are like, oh, she's starting OnlyFans, blah, blah. And it was me. It's like, I'm not going to even risk posting stuff on Instagram anymore that even is slightly controversial. I don't really, you don't really have a platform. Like, I'm not going to post just a candid selfie on ShagMag. ShagMag is a big production that goes into a magazine. Mm. So it's like, I just need some sort of outlet where I can post sexy content that's candid. I can communicate with my fans. I can message them. And I can even promote ShagMag safely on OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. So it's like two completely different entities in a sense.
Definitely. Becca, you have an OnlyFans?
I do.
She does.
How's that
I
going?
I was taking titty pictures right before we came here.
I know.
How are you enjoying it?
It's good.
Are you rich off OnlyFans yet?
I'm on my way.
She's going to buy One Oak. Buying tables at One Oak now?
Guess who's coming? We're all going.
You're not going to kick us out this time. We got a table. Oh, my God.
But she did her first debut topless in ShagMag. We have a small town sweetheart where it's like, girls with a smaller following that we really want to debut, and she was our first ever.
Wow.
And she did.
What was that
like?
That
concept. It was fun. I mean, honestly, like when I started working with Julia, my mom was like, oh, watch, you're going to be in the magazine, like shooting topless, like this. And I'm like, Mom, I'm just her assistant. I'm like, no, I'm not. And then a week later, I'm like, okay, so I'm doing it.
Is your mom disappointed in you?
No, she liked it. She saw the photos.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I feel like in this modern day age, like if you're topless,
and
it's not big a deal.
It is a big deal.
I'm gonna bring this up
really?
To you one day when Parker does something bad.
Okay.
It's a big deal.
I'm glad I have 18 plus years to prepare for that. What do you mean it's a big deal? Like people just treat it that way?
Nudity is still, and that's the thing. One thing ShagMag has really made me realize is nudity today is still, we've made so much progress in different areas when it comes to a woman's body and being nude and topless and being comfortable with that. We are still a long way behind.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like if I went to a different state and tried to like breastfeed in public, it'd be like a thing.
Is that a thing in public in other states?
It's definitely here where it's I feel like it's bad almost anywhere. I mean, I see with my family, they're like, oh, go to the other room to breastfeed.
It's so weird. Really?
It's such a big deal. Yeah. Nudity is such a big deal. Yeah.
That's crazy. As someone who's had their penis all over the internet, and I don't feel like people really care that much.
They
like,
do care.
Not about you.
I don't think they care about dudes.
Not if you have a dick. They don't care if you have a dick.
Exactly.
It's so weird.
It's all good. Me and Brian Pumper out here just fucking shit up, man. I don't know. You don't know Brian Pumper? You should have him in your magazine.
Brian Pumper? She's shaking her head no.
Yes, he's a famous porn star that
Adam's like literally obsessed with.
Yeah, he's pretty cool, yeah. Okay, how are you sort of like, you know, at first, like the whole business was kind of like built out of the cheat code of you posting provocative content on Instagram. And now that just doesn't feel like an option so much anymore. So how have you sort of manipulated your ability to promote it in response to the fact that you're being silenced on Instagram?
I think, like I said, I think it was a blessing in disguise. I think getting by on Instagram, it was obviously like another little golden ticket I had. I could market to 5 million people every month, a new issue. And I think when it got shut down, it was like, okay, I always said it. I don't want to be an influencer. I don't want to be known as an influencer. I want to be known as a CEO and entrepreneur and as a businesswoman. And I guess asking for that, the universe is like, okay, we're going to give you exactly what you asked for. Your Instagram's gone. You're no longer an influencer. How do you get gritty as a businesswoman? And how do you market this product creatively in a day and age where you can't market like what's considered adult content? So it's taught me to get gritty. It's taught me to make a lot of different business moves. We're going to be like kind of experimenting with different marketing things this upcoming month and just kind of diving into different areas. And I think really we should question Instagram. We should push back on Instagram, Facebook, and figure out like how are you measuring this? Why are you measuring this? And why am I not allowed on your platform?
I had a vision, an open letter to the world. Like, open letters are kind of a thing on the internet now, where if you have like a big statement that you want to say to the world, like there was a big open letter about cancel culture that a ton of public intellectuals like Noam Chomsky and shit, they all got together on. We need to do an open letter from everybody who's had their Instagrams deleted and such, and it will be you, Donald Trump, a bunch of Nazis.
A bunch Alex of Nazis. Jones.
Alex Jones will be there. No, but I mean, I do think that like there has to be some kind of like coordinated, actually let's limit it to sex workers so that we don't have to have like Milo and Donald Trump there. But like there has to be an open letter signed by like 800 prominent sex workers.
I wouldn't even say sex workers. It's literally just women who like, I don't think a woman who wants to be naked should be looked at as a sex worker. Nothing against sex workers, but I'm just saying as a woman, my body, if I'm standing here naked, I should not be looked as pornographic. Like because I'm naked, I'm not like, it's like, how are you picking and sexualizing certain people? Like it drives me crazy. And I just feel like as a woman, I should be able to post what you're allowing other people to post.
But I also feel like it's like a status thing, because I could go recreate like Kim Kardashian's Instagram right now and I might get my pictures flagged, and she won't, even though she also has sex on the internet.
That's, you know,
it's a status thing.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And somehow like the Trisha Paytas's and the Lenas and the Julia Roses and shit can get deleted, but like that's not going to happen to somebody like Kim Kardashian. Yeah.
I mean,
or
Miley Cyrus
Amber
literally had Rolling Stones, but her nipples were completely out. And I'm like, I just don't fucking get it. Like, I'm cool. Like, if you're going to allow her to do that, then, like, just allow me to post something half as
risky. I get so mad when I go on Instagram and I just see girls just literally naked. And I'm like, oh, I cannot believe this. But, you know, it's just how it is.
And like I said, those girls might not care now, but they will care when they wake up, because their account, if we don't do something now, every single girl that has a link in her OnlyFans in her bio, every single girl that's posting butt pictures, like topless pictures, is eventually going to get shut down. 1,000%.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I just think the rules should be clear. And
that's what I'm saying. They need to apply. And that's what I'm saying. These girls won't care unless it happens. Yeah. They wake up and it happens to them.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
We need an open letter. We need to do something that can just really like be a moment where people are forced to take notice of this issue in a way that they really haven't been able to. And Instagram needs to be called out for the reality of the situation, is that they're basically allowing young women to build businesses and then yanking the rug out from under them as soon as they start to get to the point of like actually building something. And I think your case is actually like a really, really good case to put out there, because of the fact that you're not a porn star, so they can't really like use that against you, and the fact that you are creating a brand.
Yeah. But it shouldn't even matter.
It shouldn't matter. I totally agree, but I do think that like people might kind of empathize with your situation more because you're trying to build a brand and they took that away from you.
I'm a businesswoman. Imagine if I was running a sweater company. If I was running a sweater company, they wouldn't look twice at me. Mm. But why? Because, and that's what drives me even more crazy, is it is identical, even less riskier than Playboy. It's the product and the post. Mm. So it's like the only deciding factor is what Playboy has a name and is run by a man. Like that's how, like, how are you deciding this? Mm. And if you're going to decide, like, I want it fair across every single mm-hmm. platform.
If we really want people to take notice, we have to get really famous people to sign it. We have to get Beyonce to sign it.
Well, how do we get Beyonce to sign it?
I don't think it's going to happen, but we need to figure out the next best thing.
Yeah, the only people I see who raise issue with this and usually like, yeah. talk about it on Twitter are other sex workers. But, mm-hmm. you know, I've seen tweets where it's like side-by-side comparisons of, like, let's say a photo Kim posted and then the same photo that got deleted on Instagram. And it's like, it doesn't go viral because only the sex workers are talking about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. But how do we make the people yeah. care? Until, like, that's what I'm
but
saying.
People don't care, too, because they're like, oh, you're a hot girl who makes tons of money just for right. looking hot. So it's hard for
that's
people to...
That's not true. If it was just by
you.
Looking hot... That's
but
so,
that's how they see yeah. it. You know, like they don't know that, like, when you go home, you're doing a bunch of work on your computer and yeah. making phone calls and booking a location and making sure shit happens yeah. so that Shag Mac happens. They're just like, there she is in front of the Hollywood sign, looking hot, having millions of followers. You know, like, they don't see it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like these guys, though, what is Instagram used for? If they don't care, that's fine. You don't care. Then the next time you get on Instagram, imagine every single hot girl that you're scrolling by is gone, disappeared. You'll care then.
Mm.
You'll care when the only thing you're seeing on Instagram is your boy's shirtless mirror selfies
yeah.
and what your grandma ate for dinner.
When you have to jerk off to a Victoria's Secrets catalog.
Times are rough.
It's going to be hard. We were actually looking at one this morning for me, probably the first time in about 20 years that I looked at one.
They still have the catalog out?
Yeah. I checked the mail today and took out the catalog because they have coupons sometimes.
They always put the underwear coupons?
Yes, I need those. I need lingerie for my shoots. And we looked at it and the women were well over 30 pounds heavier than the issues that I had seen 20 years ago. And yeah. that made me pretty happy.
They do have a pretty good mix of body types.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Which they're not doing the Victoria's Secret runway show, though, anymore, which drives me crazy.
Really? They stopped yeah. because...
They said they
I don't know why
put
they
guys
stopped.
In it.
Guys?
That's so iron. And then it was like...
Tyga? Brian Pumper?
You're obsessed with him.
JK. Damn, that's crazy. But yeah, okay, so do you feel like it's your responsibility to show a variety of body types, since we did notice when we were looking at Shag Mag that it's kind of like primarily like skinny white chicks?
Yeah, and I mean, that's one conversation that I have a lot, is because it is sad when I want to diversify across talent. It is hard. When you look at these influencers, and I am scouting talent, it is so hard to book. I'm literally like, we can't put another blonde girl. As much as I love blondes and I never want to discriminate against anyone, but I'm like, we need to diversify talent. I mean, it's a conversation yeah, all the time of how can we find different women to put in the magazine. And even when I was scouting and I really just wanted to put different talent, and I've reached out to a lot of African-American women. I wanted to reach out to them and ask them if they would be in the magazine. Their modeling agencies literally would refuse. They said they can't go and shoot topless content because then it puts like a bad rep on them. And I was just like, it sucks. It's like, why can't they do the exact same thing that anyone else from their agency can do?
And topless is a necessity for you.
Yeah, topless is a necessity for us.
Interesting.
And it's probably harder to scout and reach out now that you don't have your page. That's another thing that's really annoying for me.
Yeah, for having 5 million followers, I can easily reach out to a girl, and that's kind of like a selling point of like, hey, come on this platform.
We'll help you grow.
You get to post with me. I get to post you on our socials, and I get to help grow you at the same time. I mean, there was girls that would gain 40,000 followers just from being in an issue overnight. So it was like really a really good selling point of, hey, come shoot this with me, and then I'll feature you. But... that definitely, I mean, that's another part that hurts my business 1,000%.
Damn, that's interesting.
But girls, luckily, I think we've built enough rep where like people hear the name Shag Mag and girls realize we pay our models some of the top pay in the industry. That's one thing I wanted to make sure is that we take care of our girls. Mm-hmm. It's a very fun environment. Every girl gets to approve of content before it's put out. We pay them really, really well. So it's like, although they're not maybe getting like the social media exposure right off the bat, they're getting exposure in the magazine. We have thousands and thousands of readers, and they get paid really well.
That's dope. What is Julia like as a boss? Does she hurt you? Does she hit you? Beat you?
I'm like
you
squeezing her under the table.
Oh, Bex. I'm like, huh.
No. Did she beat you with a coat hanger? Tell me.
No, she doesn't. She's honestly a really good boss. I feel like...
Don't lie. Be honest.
No, seriously. Like, she's so smart. She's honestly... I did not like expect... Because, you know, you like see someone like on Instagram and then you're... Not that I'm saying that I didn't expect you to be smart.
But, it's okay,
like,
Bex.
You just like...
I think that's the hardest part for us is balancing friendship and working.
Yeah.
Because we live together. So it's like, and we're such good friends that I know if like she's late to something, I'm like, oh, I know what she's going through. Like, it's fine. But then I'm like, as a boss, I'm like,
fired.
I'm like, Becca, I literally told her at one point earlier, and she's really awesome now, but when I just first hired her, I said, if I didn't love you as much as I did, I'd already fired you like 3 times.
Yeah.
Really? You fucked up that bad? What'd you do?
I'm just really fucking
she's
particular.
She's a hard boss.
I'm really.
Yeah, she's very particular. Like, you guys should see her, how her lunch is set up.
Really? Why?
Like, we actually, like, even just like finding like someone else, like for like more help, I'm like, oh, don't do that.
Yeah,
I'm like, tried. She doesn't like it like that. Like, I just know her so well.
Tell me your Devil Wears Prada moments. I want to know.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh, God. So many. Yeah, go anything you want. So she asked, like,
I'm like,
so
you're fired like when you get home.
She asked for her sandwich. I know exactly how she likes like her sandwiches and stuff like that. She doesn't like a lot of Dijon mustard on it.
Oh, what?
And like, how she
out.
Likes things cut. She likes to have. I have to pair, you know how like you pair wines with like food?
Okay.
So I pair like certain chips with like her meal.
That,
like I know when the Takis come in, or I know when the hot Cheetos come in.
Oh my God, that's
I'm not
so
this
funny.
Bad. No, I am. And then I have to eat something sweet with my meals.
Yeah. No, but it's not bad. It's just, you know, I feel like it's helped me like living around her because then I kind of,
you know,
see, I know exactly.
Yeah. But from your perspective, is she like mega motivated? Like wake up in the morning, like go, go, go,
yeah.
Hustle.
Are you serious? She wakes up at like 5 a.m., goes to the gym, like comes back, calls like all day long, like in between. Like sometimes she'll literally like have like a bite of her food, but then her food's like, I'll be like, eat. Like it's time to eat.
That's
she's
so,
working
like,
constantly.
I consider myself a hard worker, but also like if I'm in the middle of a meal and I get a phone call from the fucking president, I'm like, yeah, no, I'm waiting until I'm done this fucking sandwich. Like it's not happening. Like I segment up my time and like I don't know. I've kind of had to like learn to do that because it is really tempting to just do every bit of communicating as soon as possible. Like as soon as that email gets in, you're responding to it. Like I don't know. I kind of like allow myself to just like have that freedom of like doing all my emails, but like I'll do like all my emails in the morning and all my emails at night, and I won't go that crazy with keeping up on them all throughout the day in between, I guess.
Yeah. It's just hard for like people to know, obviously with like social media and everything, people are posting just, you know, like it might not be from that day that you see like a story and it's like, oh, someone's at the beach or just like laying by the pool. Like you might just,
I used to take like all my content in 1 week because I knew like I couldn't be shooting, and then it would be so hard. I'd get on like investor calls and like I just posted like me chilling by the pool like an hour ago, and I'm like, I'm not actually chilling at the pool. Like that's content from a month ago. And it's just, you have to keep up with that lifestyle. Obviously people don't want to see me doing stories of like working behind my computer, so it's like balancing both is really
I
hard.
Know it's so boring. People like make YouTube videos, make vlogs. I'm like my
what do
life,
you want to see?
It's not exciting stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm just sitting on my computer.
Do you have the problem where you want to be taken seriously by like investors and people in the financial world and startup world and stuff like that, and like they want to treat you like an OnlyFans girl or whatever?
It's not that they want to treat me like an OnlyFans girl. It's just hard. Here I am pitching a product that I am nude in to investors where I'm like maybe fully clothed in front of. I think now I give them my numbers and I give them my sales and they take me a lot more seriously. I think in the beginning, obviously, it was a lot more difficult, but it's true finding those people though. Do I want an investor that can't take me serious if he sees that as a problem? No. So it's like finding those people that can appreciate the product for what it is, see me as a businesswoman for who I am, and then see the numbers, and it just makes sense.
For sure. It's kind of unique that you're building your own company, because you know, like we kind of had the same reaction, which was like, I'm surprised that she didn't end up with like a podcast on Barstool, like when she was doing content with them and stuff. Like, have you had offers like that, like people trying to sort of like bring you in to work on behalf of their brand, and do you just turn them down like uniformly because you want to focus on your shit?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely had different offers from different brands to work underneath them, do different video
Call
content.
Caller Daddy, were you tested as a replacement co-host?
Caller Daddy replace Becca?
No, like,
never.
When they tried to bring you in.
I was like, listen,
Becca is out for you now.
I just like, when I saw Barstool have that successful Caller Daddy, I'm like, oh my God, like Julia would so be somebody that they would try to pull in, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with Caller Daddy, it never crossed my mind because I think it's a completely different demographic. I think they have a heavier women, like have more women listeners rather than like shit shows 90% men listening in. So yeah, but I've definitely like had offers. I think it was me as I'm Julia Rose and I wanted to stay Julia Rose. And I, even when it came to like brand partnerships, I never even did brand partnerships, not a lot after I started Shag Mag, because I wanted Shag Mag to be my brand. Like that was it. I didn't want to be oversaturated, didn't want to be promoting other products. It was, I'm promoting Shag Mag. I'm eat, sleep, breathe Shag Mag.
You feel like it has to be like that for it to really be successful?
Yeah, I feel like you have to be 100%. If you give 20% here, 30% here, it's like, where are you really going to go? It was, I'm giving 120% full steam ahead to Shagmag and seeing where it takes me.
Yeah, I do feel like if you're going to be like leading a company, it kind of, that needs to be your attitude. I'm perplexed by how Jack Dorsey is the CEO of Twitter and Square and is able to actually like do that all at the same time. Insane. That's insane to me. Like, how do you spread that attention when it feels like those companies developing, it needs all your attention and it needs to, like, you know, it's like the way
it's like baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it would be like,
don't
really
have a kid, it'll ruin your life. You won't be able to do Shagmag.
No, but it's like a kid. It's like, it's all your time and energy. You can't be selfish. Every decision you make is about the business. And I think it's taught me so much.
Interesting.
I'm very motivated by you right now because I'm also in the same position where I lost my Instagram, and for weeks I would text him like, I'm fucked. I'm done. I'm not going to be an influencer anymore.
And I'm just trying to convince her, like, you need to keep going. Like, you just can't give up.
It just feels so hard because I was 5 years to build
my account. If you give up, it's over. Like, it might be slow. It might be a grind, but you just can't give up because then it really is over.
I think what it always comes down for me is we especially cannot give up. And whether it's an open letter or whatever decisions we make from this point forward, if we give up, there's going to be girls sitting in our exact same spots 20 years from now being shut down for the exact same problems. And that's why I'm like, if I give up now and I'm just like, okay, fuck it, because even I thought about it, I'm like, you know what, fuck it, now it's gone, I'm not an influencer, I can move. I've thought about moving to Hawaii in a tiny town, opening up a surf shop, being completely content, and I'm like, what good would that do?
Yeah.
If I give up now, there's going to be a Julia Rose 20 years from now that is saying that she can't post what she wants to post and is being discriminated against.
I think the open letter, we should discuss it more later, because it's like, if you really do this, I think it could actually work. But you need to have a list of demands.
Yeah.
And I think it could.
I feel
if it got enough attention, I think it could help get the accounts back.
Maybe.
Some of them.
Even maybe not accounts back, but just a fair, like a system. Something needs to be put in place.
Yeah. We're not going to let Trump sign it. Okay. The one thing that I want to ask about before we wrap this up that is very necessary that we haven't talked about yet is, can we talk about you basically being Jake Paul's his rebound relationship after his brief time dating Tana, married to
Tana. I wouldn't consider me a rebound.
Were you? I don't know. I'm like, it's been a while. I can't remember how the calendar all played out, but he was married to Tana on the reality show.
Yeah.
And then he dated you. How did this happen? How did you guys become this power couple for a while?
It's hard because I'm never public about it because people always go to that whole thing of like, oh, clout chaser, attention. So I love to stay private about every relationship I'm ever in. And you have to be very careful about vocalizing what happened afterwards because people will always come back and be like, you know, there's two sides to every story. And at the end of the day, I know the truth and that's all that matters. But I met him on his music video shoot. Was told the whole marriage with Tana was completely fake, just complete facade. And that's one thing that it taught me really told me the ins and outs of the industry, that everything you see out here, all these people are putting on fucking shows.
We went to the wedding.
Yeah.
You went to the wedding?
We can confirm that it was...
We saw the show.
It was something fishy.
Yeah. So I was told that, and like I've told this in other podcasts, is people are always like, oh, what attracted you to him, blah, blah, blah. And it just... There was a moment, I was still small town Texas girl at that point, just kind of in this mindset of like, people are good people. Like, I really truly want to believe at the end of the day, people are good people. And I don't want to listen to what other people tell me. I want to make the decision for myself. And there was a point in time where we were on set and all the cameras had finally gone away. And we had just a 10 to 15 minute conversation. And I saw a human being there, and I saw like, there was an actual person there that, and I feel like no one truly loved him just because of who that person was, not because of Jake Paul, the money, the fame. And so we were very private about our relationship. I was going to training camp, and it was just the whole fucking shit show in itself. But I was, and that's why people were like, oh, she did just clout, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, the first lot of months was very, very private. And so it just sucks, you know, getting told that you're one way when it's complete opposite. Getting married for clout and then saying, yeah.
I kind of like assumed that it might have been like a fake, like fun clout relationship.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a real, like, I assumed like his other relationship.
I just kind of assumed that after the Tana thing, it's like, oh, well, he had a fake wife and now he's got a fake girlfriend.
At this point, I wish. Like, I think if I would have positioned it well and people were like, clout, if I would have went into it with that mindset and use that to my benefit and use that to my advantage, then I think things would have went different. But I'm can't say, like, I would just want my name unattached. I just don't want to be an influencer anymore. I don't want to be in that world anymore. I want, like I said, I want to be known as, I'm not Jake Paul's ex. I'm not Harry Jowsey's ex. I'm fucking Julia Rose, you know, and I'm a businesswoman.
Who's Harry Jowsey?
Oh God. That's just a name we can just...
I just started listening to that episode earlier. I didn't know you guys dated.
That's a funny name. Who the fuck is that? Exactly.
Yeah. It was like literally a week.
Wait, so if you get your Instagram back tomorrow, are you not going to be Julia Rose the influencer anymore? Like, what would you imagine on your Instagram since you're saying you want to separate yourself from
that? I think getting it back is... I would love... It's obviously like the outreach. I think that's the main reason wanting to get it back is still... Shag Mag is still a baby and still making Shag Mag known for what it is and still having that platform to reach out to girls and seeing me build this massive platform and being that like spokesperson person for these girls, I think is what I would kind of use it for. I'd still be Julia Rose. I'm going to be Julia Rose no matter what. When I'm 80 years old, I'm going to be walking around with my tits out. Sorry. But I think I would just use the platform to really capitalize, like grow different platforms, really push out. I didn't push it even that hard when I had the platform to begin with.
So what about when you and Jake Paul broke up? Let's talk about that. Why did it end? Like, what was the... It was cheating is like basically how you sum it up.
Yeah, I'll confirm that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of cheating and then going back and forth. And at the end of the day, I think what really came down to was choosing my business. There was a lot of disagreeing of, you know, what I did and not agreeing with it. And it was, for me, I'm a businesswoman. I'm not getting, my business comes first. I'm sorry, but Shag Mag will always come first. And I really want to read the text message.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Adam loves this.
It's super messy, yeah.
Should I not?
What text message? Describe it.
Should I not?
I don't know. What
Your
do you
mean? Your sister's like sitting up all the time. She's like, yeah.
You think I should do it?
Yeah, Laura said just let loose.
I don't know what it just
A dramatic reading of a Jake Paul text.
Hey.
That's how this ended. That was the last conversation you ever had? Mm-hmm. What did you do that led up to that?
I chose my business. I chose being in Shag Mag, and I think that's, I mean, obviously what made me... It's easy to call a woman a slut. You know, when I'm making decisions and I'm... owning who I am, you can, there's so many different names, and it's like, of course he's gonna capitalize on that one. That
why do you look sick?
He basically said you were a slut like 10 different ways in that text, which is kind of weird because I don't like consider that like a really, really good insult. Like who the fuck
you
cares?
And I get called sluts all day long. It's like,
it just doesn't seem like
it's a, like, do
it
better.
It was just like, it doesn't make at that sense. Point I'm just like, I feel like owning who I was, and there was many interviews where when we were together, they'd interview him and they'd be like, how do you feel about Julia and what she did with whoever? And he'd be like, I don't get, it's a double standard. There's many interviews you can look. He's like, I think it's a double standard. Women should be able to do whatever they want, just like men. So then how do you flip the script? And how do you say that I'm a slut because I'm doing whatever I want? And if I'm going to be Hollywood slut, I'm going to be the best fucking Hollywood slut that you've ever fucking seen.
But did
seen.
He not want you to have your tits out in Shag Mag and whatnot?
It's not that he didn't want me to. I never asked. It's like, I'm not going to ask for permission. I'm like, that was never a conversation.
Right. It's weird to me because he's like embraced like Riley and like different actual porn stars, but it seems kind of odd that he would take such issue with you like
and
that.
And it's the other thing of, you know, people will always have their stories. I never cheated. Never, not once, never cheated. And
I was
people,
gonna ask that.
Yeah. People will point, and there's absolutely no proof at all. I have never cheated. And I've only hooked up with two people ever in the industry of LA. I've never hooked up with an athlete, never hooked up with a musician. Two people. My LA number's two. Like, and the fact that you're going to call me these names and after you know who I really am, and it's like, you got your own shit to deal with. Here you go. You can take everything you said and hold that. I'm not carrying that
with
me.
But had you like actually broken up with him leading into those texts? Like, that's what made him react that way?
I think it was a mixture. There was like videos being posted to me. He was like, between him and Dylan Danis again, I was being brought into like that old videos that didn't even matter. And I think it was a lot of different things. It was, you know, I feel like when you have a lot on the inside going on, but yeah, I had broken up with him, basically got off set and was just like, this is what I do. My last words is, this is what I do. I'm owning who I am. And you either love me for it or you don't. And he obviously chose to not. And that's fine. Like, I'm okay with that now. I can sit at night and look at myself in the mirror and be like, you are one Hollywood son. No, I'm just kidding. I thought
that text was going a completely different way when she first started reading it.
Me too. I thought it was going to be like, I still love you. That was kind of a surprise.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're telling me. I mean, you think you know people. And that's one thing. that relationship, and I can honestly say, has taught me so much. And I can at the end of the day be like, it has taught me, God, that relationship has taught me so, so much. And I don't regret it at all, at all.
Yeah.
I mean, no, that's some heavy shit. Like, just that it got that real. Especially since, like, so many people thought it was fake. The fact that it got that serious.
I had no idea. It was like pretty, a real serious relationship.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was serious. I think just learning someone behind, like, what they are off camera, and just, like I said, I wanted to be that person that unconditionally, like, really, truly loves someone. And maybe that just doesn't exist out here. Maybe people like the fake weddings, the fake marriages, the fake relationships.
People thought our relationship was fake when we first started dating, too.
I think it was at first.
Our relationship's real.
Yeah. Oh,
that's dope, though. I mean, what's the lesson that you've learned, though? Always assume the worst out of everybody. And if somebody has had negative things about them said publicly, just assume that there's probably a reason.
I think at the end of the day, what it's taught me is, one, that question everything in this industry, and don't always believe what, you know, people are putting on. And it taught me to put myself first and to trust my gut and to, like, love yourself and love what you do and own it, because the people that truly fucking love you will stick around and they'll love you through it.
Mm. Respect. Becca, I feel bad that we haven't talked to you enough on this whole thing.
Should I come back? I like Becca. I'm vibing with her from over here.
I just have my little, you know, my jump-ins where I say something.
Becca was there through it all. So yeah, when I drove down to meet Becca, that I had saw footage of him fucking another girl and drove down and was like completely distraught. She's been there since the very beginning to the very end of, like, being that support system. I wouldn't trade it for
fucking
world. Who sent
you footage of him fucking someone else?
It was security camera footage.
How did you get it?
It was one of those moments where you literally, as a woman, I'm sorry, but your gut as a woman is like a superpower. And you can, we were actually leaving for a trip, and I remember checking, there was the iPad, like it looked almost like someone was trying to erase it. Uh-huh. And literally went over there, pressed play, and I had left his house, and literally someone was there within 20 minutes of me leaving.
Wow.
Just full doggy style, bow down. And I knew, and I was, Becca was like, are you sure it wasn't you? And I was like, she was wearing a headband. I was like, I would never wear a headband during sex.
Are you sure it wasn't you?
She's like, are you sure it wasn't like footage? I was like, no, the girl was wearing a headband. I would never wear a headband while getting
fucked.
What
did you do? What was your first reaction? I'm trying to think of what I would fucking do. I don't know. I feel like I would find your car keys and drive your car into some fucking, I'd be so mad at you.
You couldn't drive my car.
It's just like, you it's hear it. It's like, why can't she drive your car?
I couldn't imagine.
I've driven your car before.
You'd have to move the seat. It would take too long. You'd calm down. You'd be like, fuck this. I can't get the mirrors in the right spots.
What was your first reaction? Did you like break shit? No, I'm so mad on your behalf right now.
Yeah, no, I think, again, trust your gut. It's like, you hear it and it's like, I think seeing it, you can't deny it. You can't sit here and deny that. And it was like, I thought closure at the time, but of course I ended up wanting to try and like figure it out. It just hurts, like, as a woman, especially with other women. And like, I've even found out more, like, about, she knew what we were dating, and it's just like, it hurts. It's just an ego like thing of just like, as a woman, to think, I think your initial thing as a woman, you get cheated on, is to go and be like, what did I not do for you? Like, what, how am I not enough for you? And so that was kind of the initial thing, but then at the end of the day, it's like,
it's not about you. Yeah, it's a reflection, yeah, of the other person.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been looking at your boobs this whole time. So the fact that,
so nice.
Your boobs, like, oh, right in front boobs? Of me, I'm like, they're going to comment it because it's all I've been doing. So I just have to, you know, bring the elephant out of the room or whatever they call it. But yeah, I don't know why he cheated on you, because your boobs look amazing.
Thank you.
Are you,
they're so juicy.
Are you cool with Logan? Maybe you could date him.
Yeah, I know. We always joke, and I said I chose the wrong brother.
You're on good terms with Logan?
Yeah, I don't have anything against Logan.
Have you been on Logan's show?
I was on Impulsive.
Right. I should have probably watched that. Actually, then I probably wouldn't have had all these questions.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think it's good going into it, not knowing.
For sure.
Or knowing that you're from Africa. Just, yeah. Misinformation.
Zimbabwe.
Misinformation.
It goes down in Zimbabwe.
I love it.
Who are you thinking? I think you should go rapper for your next boyfriend. I'm thinking DaBaby or like a Roddy Ricch.
No.
What is this face?
I'm seeing someone right now.
Who?
Like, well, it's very low key. I don't want to even be public about it because I don't want to get it. Like, I don't want it to be a thing. But like,
that's smart.
Yeah.
Don't like declare your plans for your future and everything right here.
No, you don't want to declare it out. I want to, like I said, even in that's another thing. I'm very transparent. Like, I am basically dating Shag Mag first when it comes to anything, because you have to. Like, I sleep next to Shag Mag. I wake up next to Shag Mag. Shag Mag will always come first. I don't care what dude you are. I don't care. I mean, was like one dude maybe I could think of that Jack Bag wouldn't come first with, but
he has a soft spot.
Harry Styles.
No.
I finally found out who that Drake. Is. The guy in the dress.
Is it Drake?
Is it really?
She looked at me.
I mean, maybe.
Oh
wait,
my God.
Champagne poppy.
What were you saying?
Oh, wait. No, I'm like, but she's not talking to Drake right now.
I'm like, Bex, don't out me like that. You don't know that. Drake, baby.
I'm like, wait, what?
Drake, frequent viewer of this podcast.
Frequent viewer of this podcast.
Very big fan when we had the girl on who talked about sucking off the Seven Suns players. He was a very big fan of the memes that resulted from that.
Oh, okay. How can we get a meme right now? What do I need
to do?
I'm like, what do I need to do?
I don't know.
Tip, fuck the microphone.
I don't know how we get his attention right here. Well, the other day I took a picture of Yuri with his fucking stupid haircut with the heart shaved into his thing. And I put that on Instagram and I actually tagged Drake. I don't even actually think he opened it, which is understandable because he's in album mode.
Album mode. See, that's hot. That's what I'm like.
Album
I'm
mode
in
Shag
Mag mode.
Girls
I'm in album
love
mode.
Album mode.
I'm in album mode.
Shag Mag is an everlasting album mode, right?
Yep, exactly.
Makes sense. That's what the problem with Jake Paul was. He just wasn't in album mode. He was in vlog mode or fight mode.
Exactly.
All right. Lena's got to go breastfeed
I'm
this
in
kid.
Mommy mode. Yeah. My boobs are going to explode
are like
right now.
Exploding with milk.
Yes, by osmosis.
Isn't that
sort of
cool that like women can produce milk? Like that's pretty sick.
I produce milk too.
Have you tasted it?
Yeah, no,
he has.
But she's kind of like sprayed it at me on some random shit,
the other
and I'm like, ah!
I love it.
I got blasted. My kid just learned to squeal.
Ooh,
it's very exciting.
I love that.
It's exciting.
I can't even do the noise. Like that's one weird thing about my voice. My voice doesn't make high pitched noises good.
Yeah, I don't think it's meant to.
I can't do the thing like.
God's like, please don't squeal.
It doesn't work.
Squeal, no.
I think it's a thing. You like smoke enough backwards, and all of a sudden you can't do a good squeal. You can't do a good teapot
that
noise.
Maybe just getting older.
Yeah, that too. And just being such
like, why
a
do
man.
You need a squeal right now? Like, you would never need a squeal.
To impersonate my infant daughter.
No one wants that.
Hey, we might see AD. He might be out there right now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, I really
call him out.
I have to go.
All right.
Let's do it.
Appreciate you guys. This was a good
was
interview.
Good.
Shagmag.com.
We're going viral, probably. The world learned a lot from this.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Fuck it. All the new Instagrams, or if you're in Becca's case, the old Instagram are on the screen. I'm assuming you didn't get deleted in that
no.
crossfire.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, lucky you.
Lucky you.
Your day will come.
Follow all these girls. Support women. We're going to work on our open letter.
Yes.
Maybe we can get Amber Rose to sign it. Who else?
Not
Mia Khalifa. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, and subscribe. March 19th, go get these fucking figurines from the YouTube's U2's site. We got vinyl figures dropping. NoJumper.com if you want to support. And go cop the Shag Mag, cop the OnlyFans, cop the shit show.
Bye.
Bye.